Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up? Don't sit down. Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, good afternoon to another episode of Blog Talk Radio with Southern Sense. I'm your host, Annie, the radio chick. I'm waiting for my co-host, Cool Mike, to call in. And guess what? We almost didn't have a show today. I don't know how many of you have been following in the news about these solar flares, these solar storms. Well, it seemed to have knocked out my telephone and my internet. And about an hour before the show, I was racing around calling Embark or CenturyLink or whatever the hell they call this phone company over here now. I'm trying to get my phone system back up and everything, but we made it. We made it. Almost didn't have a show today. I was going to have to go downtown to the park and use their Wi-Fi. Well, I want to welcome everyone in. We've got Dr. Jones in the house. And got my nurse friend. So we got our doctor and nurse here, Erica. And we've got Kellen here. And we've got Jubilus. I want to welcome everyone into the chat room. We're going to be doing something a little bit differently. I was hoping Mike had been calling in already, but I'm going to be throwing out some different subjects, and I want you to give me some feedback and maybe give us a call here. And I do have to apologize. I don't know if anyone is getting static, but I am getting a lot of static in my headset. Let me know if you can hear me clearly. This is really weird. All right. Got a little something here that I don't know how many people have watch the NFL game, but Bruce Tyler did the national anthem. And, oh, man, I heard this thing. I was going, who is more stoned, Steve Tyler at the time he was singing or the NFL for getting him to sing this song? Let me play this for you and get your feedback.
National anthem performed today by the lead singer of the multi-platinum award-winning band Aerosmith. Here is Steven Tyler.
By the dawn's early light, what
heart so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallant.
Okay, that was Steve Tyler's attempt to sing the national anthem. Not only did he get the words wrong, but I don't even think it was even close to what it's supposed to sound like. Let me see. We've got was it Erica? Wait a minute, here we go. Erica wrote that I think you can get a clear view of China when Steve opens his mouth. What's your take on this this debacle, Mike?
I'm right here. I'm laughing my booty off trying not to be so loud. And he just like, he said, all the way to China, huh? Oh, man. You know, these people listen to your show and you're just getting slammed and insulted all over the place. Well, let's see. So far, we're probably just an actual minute into talking in the show. And I'm still in the chat room. That's longer than I lasted yesterday in Thomas's chat room. Good evening. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Southern Sense. Annie, who did not have internet or power up until when, Annie?
About an hour before the show. Man,
yeah.
And I'm still getting some feedback and stuff in my headset, so I have to apologize. If you're getting static, there's nothing I can do about it. I apologize. It's whatever it is, it's affecting my telephone system here in the South Carolina.
You sound good. You sound good, Annie.
Okay, because I am getting a lot of static, which is distracting inside my headset. We have those solar flares. And this is something, Mike, we were talking about on our show on Friday about the NASA program being eviscerated. And this is part of the problem. Our satellites up there are aging. And when you have something like this with the solar storms, it's going to knock some of these satellites out. I mean, you know, people don't realize how much it's going to affect their everyday lives.
Yeah, well, as we know, certain parts of satellites have been hit by rocks or whatever, and it takes out thousands of people's cell phones. But, yep, exactly. Well, I'm glad at least we are all here. Welcome, Dr. Jones and Enrichments, is it? And then we got Jubilees and Kelfritz and, of course, Tesler.
Oh, you can't forget our girlfriend, Erica, sweet Erica out there, our lady nurse.
Yes, and Tesler, of course, who has the best show on Sunday, Socialism is Not an Option. Welcome, everyone. It is a good afternoon. Now, did you have a storm down there or something? Annie, your stuff is always going out. You're always having typhoons or whatever it is. Like, every other week, you're like, my phone service is not working. My internet's not working. So what now?
Whatever is happening with these solar storms, because everyone has been listening to the news that follows anything, the sun has these occasional flare-ups, and it shoots out these powerful explosions, very similar to the EMPs that we were talking about, those electromagnetic pulse bombs. And it actually does disrupt, you know, your equipment. And depending upon where it is shot out at, you know, what part of the earth is affected is going to affect your cell phones, your telephones. And I'm trying to call, I think they call it CenturyLink now. It used to be Embark. It used to be Sprint. And they keep on changing the name of the company every 6 months here. And I'm trying to call them on the cell phone, and my cell phone's breaking up, and I'm trying to explain to them I don't have any landline and I don't have any internet. It was just a whole mess, a whole mess.
Well, you have internet, you have telephone, and here we are for another edition of Southern Sense, where we don't tolerate any nonsense. That's right.
So what is your take now on this thing with Steve Tyler? I want to know what the heck the NFL was thinking when they got him to sing the national anthem. You know, at the debate that I attended over in Myrtle Beach, that little tiny girl, I think she's 6 years old, 6 or 7 years old, she sang the national anthem, and it was like an angel, an angel. Why couldn't they get someone like that to sing it rather than some American Idol star or whatever, you know? I mean, go back to Aerosmith, and that way you can sing off-key and sound horrible and still sound good with your music. You know, you don't put him there in the national anthem. It just, it, that's like another Roseanne Barr moment.
Oh, my God. Okay. I'll compare him to, I was reading a article. Excuse me, I had to swallow something. And it said that Steven Tyler has done the worst public display or singing, whatever you want to call it, of the national anthem in our country's history. And I thought, how would you like to be him and read this right on the internet? The worst in our country's history.
And he makes his living as a lead singer with Aerosmith. Well, oh, man. And what was with that bit of white in the middle of his forehead? I couldn't tell if it was a Band-Aid, if it was gray hair, or if he dyed his... What is... I mean, he looks like a cadaver walking.
Well, some people handle the spotlight a little different. Some handle it with class and fine style and grace. Some handle it kind of a little in the middle. And some do every single thing they can to not only embarrass themselves, but to embarrass this country when people are watching from abroad and thinking, oh, my God. I mean, you know, it's political correctness kind of went out the window in the halftime shows with the NFL when they had the Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson thing. So now
the wardrobe malfunction, yeah.
Which was not that big of a deal, but, of course, people made an issue of it. And here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that when we do not, in a lot of ways, the NFL needs to, you know, hear this song first and then approve it. He did not show up for the dress rehearsal. He just winged it. And, of course, every big show has a stage manager or people in charge to approve this, but they didn't. He didn't show up because he didn't think he had to. He's a big shot, blah, blah, blah. It's what we got. For God's sake, this guy can't even sing the national anthem. Jeez.
Yep. Now, look, it looks like Delta is forced to reroute flights to Asia, fearing communication issues and radiation after a massive solar eruption. So I'm not the only one having computer problems. Delta Airlines is rerouting the flights because of these solar storms. Wow. You know, one thing I did promise one of our listeners out there in the chat room, she wrote something in her blog. This was 3 years ago, about 2.5 years ago, really. And what she wrote in her blog back then in August 2009 is so relevant today as it was then. And I'm going to read this to you, and I want some of your feedback on this, Mike. And this was written by a patriotic nurse, God, Country, and Constitution. The sleeping giant is awake, and a resounding rumble is being heard across the nation as we, the people, are coming together as one voice and remaining silent no more. We are attending town hall meetings, and our elected officials are astonished by our outrage of their attempts to force this administration's health care reform upon us. The representatives appear shocked and ask, I don't understand. You don't trust me? Trust you? Why should we trust you when your actions speak of condensation and disregard for how we feel? We are the ones that sent you to Washington to look out for our interests, but it is clear that most of you are only looking out for yourselves to gain power with a lack of regard of principles or values. We have but one real option left. That is our vote. That is our voice. That is one right that you won't be able to remove without a real second revolution truly becoming a reality. So I say unto you, listen to us. We are awake, and we will not sit idly by and let this administration usher in a socialistic form of government. Don't believe us? Continue to betray us, and come 2010, 2012, you too will be awakened. Well, right now, Mike, it is 2012, and what Erica wrote back then is absolutely true. If you look at what's happening with these primaries and the upsets, oh, my God. They don't realize that they think the Tea Party or the conservatives and the independents are going to just, you know, do business as usual. We're just waiting. We're waiting. And then when it comes time, we're moving. What's
and
your
we're
take?
We're going to say it with votes. Exactly.
Absolutely.
We're going to say it with votes.
Mm-hmm.
What do
Absolutely.
You do? I mean, the idea of politicians says, trust me. Yeah, right. Like the serpent in the Garden of Eden, trust me.
Hmm. No, it's not. And I think that's why the Romney camp is so shocked that Gingrich has soared forward.
Did you see the interview with our guest from last week on CNN? You have to...
No, with Chad?
Is it Chad or Thad?
Chad, C-H-A-D.
Okay, well, I didn't... But anyway, he outright said the same thing. Basically, they're challenging Republicans that are in disguise. And it's a conservative movement, and it is going back to the conservative movement. It's going back to the basic principles where it's not wrong to say, I believe in Jesus Christ or whatever. And I thought it was very well put, whereas he basically said, Republicans in my state know they're on notice. Unless they think conservative and act that way and vote that way, they will be challenged and defeated in the primaries.
Oh, man.
That needs to be contagious, that kind of attitude. Instead of getting a Republican in different states who leads, who wants to be an attaboy and appease people, you know, let's get one who pisses them all off. That's what we need.
Exactly. And I think that's why Gingrich is resonating with conservatives, because he's willing to get out there and he's willing to put his dukes up and take some swings. Even though we don't agree with everything he says and does, but we need someone out there that's going to fight. You know, someone that does have a principle and willing to turn around and stand for it. I was watching that debate last night, and I don't know if you caught it, but the one thing that struck me completely odd is that no one was clapping. You didn't hear any of the shouts like you heard, like, in the past debates, you know, someone in the background shouting out Newt or, you know, Ron Paul or something like that. You had everyone absolutely quiet. And we're in the debate I attended in Myrtle Beach, as well as the one in Tampa. You know, we were standing up, giving standing ovations and clapping and cheering to different answers. But there was absolute silence in this crowd. Absolute silence. And you would hear just a little tiny mumbling in the background, and it's like very, very quiet. You know, no one's supposed to speak. Well, I found out that they instructed the audience to not do that. They told him it wouldn't be tolerated. Can you believe that?
Well, you have basic... I always love this. They say, oh, please don't applause. We're on a schedule. Or we're... What a joke. These debates, in many ways, are pep rallies. And everybody is given a certain amount of tickets, each candidate, to give their person. And the bottom line is, then they say, go there and don't be energetic. Don't be enthused. Or they're going to escort you out. I think the candidates themselves need to stand up for what this is about. If you want me to be excited about your running for office, Annie, and I'm coming to your debate, and you want me to be excited, the last thing you say as a candidate is, oh, just sit on your hands and, you know, whatever. I think that, you know, I think in many, many ways the Ron Paul revolution is all about that. It's about these people that are enthused about some of the things that Ron Paul has said. And on top of being frustrated with some things, and they won't be hushed. But I mean, in many, many ways, it is the exact same thing that got Barack Obama elected. He was a new face. Things were horrible. We had a president who was an absolute, complete, utter idiot, moron, stupid jerk.
Then what do you have? You have a good-looking guy who knows nothing about politics, but he's a salesman, and everybody's cheering. We're against this, and everybody cheers. We're going to do this, and everybody cheers. That's what this is all about. And for me, I think candidates should boycott those type of debates, and I don't think a TV station or whoever hosts has a right to say that. I think that's ridiculous.
Well, Erica writes, NBC had Ativan being pushed through the air ducts. That's why everyone was comatose.
I think they certainly could have done a better job with the questions and answers. We've heard so many of these questions in every single debate. Can they not, I mean, knowing they have a month or two to plan this debate, can they not think of just maybe some different type questions? Kind of like when we had, I think it was Mike or Van the Radio Man on here. I asked him a little bit about himself. Do you recycle at your house? You know, just different type questions. It's always the same. What are you going to do on this? Well, you know, we just heard that question the last debate and the last one and the one before and the one before. I mean, for God's sakes, ask how their mother's doing. You just get tired of the same questions because in many, many ways, they give a different answer to the same question.
Well, Kel writes out in the chat room, she wants to know our thoughts about Romney's tax release. Now, he just released his taxes, but he only released it for the last 2 years. He hasn't released anything beyond that. And he was asked if he was going to release beyond that, and he says no. He goes, my father may have released 12 years, but I feel 2 years is enough. That way you can see who I make my donations to, approximately how much money I make, and see that I pay 15% income tax. And the reason why he pays only 15% is everything is through capital gains. You know, he's no longer has a company or whatever you want to call it where he's getting an income. And he's not out doing those speeches or anything. So basically everything he earns is on what he's invested. And think about this. This is money he's already paid tax upon. So what little interest he gets, it's now just the 15%. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Well, first of all, he's following the legal guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
We're critical of everybody and their taxes and blah, blah, blah. You know what? If they're following what the law is, they're following what the law is. It's kind of like these $10,000 breakfasts. I remember, I think it was Lloyd Benson. He was charging $10,000 for a plate. Well, it was everyone criticized him for it. You know what? It was perfectly legal. And I think we make too much of an issue of this. Most of these people who run for office are very, very affluent. They are not struggling. They don't live like us, sometimes budget to budget, or can't have to go without this or go without this for a little while, or, you know, maybe this home repair need, or this car repair needs to go on standby for a month or two so we can come up with the money. These people don't have those problems. But if they're following the guidelines of the law of the land, you know, who are we criticizing? And what are we criticizing?
Right.
Criticizing them for success?
No. No, you can't. You can't criticize them for success. That's for true. And Romney did make his own money. He didn't inherit it. You know, not like John Kerry did. Well, actually, Kerry also married into it. But what Romney has, he also has an account in the Cayman Islands. But he pays U.S. taxes legally on that. It's not as if he's trying to hide it. So we can't even criticize him on that. But when I was watching the debate, I wasn't very pleased with the way he was going after Gingrich again on that the bit where he was doing the what do you call it? I just forgot the word. It begins with a C. I'm going to say counseling. No, not counseling. Forget. Well, that stuff with Freddie and Fannie Mac. I think he made a lot more hay about it than he should have. And Gingrich said, if you look at it, the actual income that I earned was only $35,000. Whereas the company that he had, which handled all these other accounts, was the company that made the money, not him personally. And, you know, that should have been said, done, and then leave it alone. But Jennings just kept on going in there and pushing the knife in and just trying to stir up a hornet's nest when there really isn't one there.
Well, see, going back a couple of debates, if you remember when Newt really slapped that moderator, I think it was Angle from Fox. I don't remember who it was. But he said, look, if you're looking for me to criticize this person to the right or left or start some sort of war, he said, it's not happening. He says, Ronald Reagan had a statement, thou shalt never criticize another Republican. He goes, and I'll abide by it. He goes, and this isn't even, this shouldn't even be brought up in a debate. Let's talk about the issues. And everybody applauded. And that's very, very true. I mean, most of the very good journalists have been fired. They made too much money, so they brought in these $5, $10 an hour type of people, and they asked $5 an hour questions. So this is what we get when we really don't have. We don't have a lot of professional journalism around. It's just not around. Whether it's in a network or a local paper, the good questions, the good challenging questions, and even the good follow-up questions, they seem to almost be eliminated, Annie. At least from my eyes, my perspective.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, we're going to have a little bit of fun here, Cool Mike. We've got someone here on hold. Do you want them to stay inside the chat room, or you want to do what he did to you last night?
Oh, boy, we got Thomas?
And Thomas is on the line. And I got to tell people listening that Cool Mike and I popped into Thomas, the invisible conservative, who's visible now, into his show last night. And Cool Mike was starting to stir up some trouble pretending to be a troll and ended up getting kicked out of Thomas's chat room. Good afternoon, Thomas.
What's up, yo?
Hey, my friend. How were your mashed potatoes yesterday?
Very mashy.
I mean, I've got to crack up every time I pop into your show. You're in the middle of cooking while you're doing a show. So why don't you just change it to a cooking show?
I could do that, but, you know, that would make it boring.
Mm.
Well, wait. No, it wouldn't.
Well, Thomas, I'm glad you called in at this moment because I was going to pull on Cool Mike another subject that just popped up in the news. There's a 15-year-old student, and I'm trying to remember what state this was in. Let me see if I can pull this back up again. Wisconsin. Okay, here we go. 15-year-old Wisconsin high school student. And his class, his teacher or whatever, said, all right, I want you and this person, another person, Maddie something or other, to write an op-ed piece to the local paper. Now, one of you is going to be for adoption by homosexuals, and the other one is going to write one that's against adoption by homosexuals.
Right.
So he was given an assignment, and he said, well, because of my Christian beliefs, I'll do the anti. I'll do the one that's it's con and let her do the one that's pro. So he did this per the instructions of his teacher. You know, this was a school assignment, and he wrote the article. Well, the school superintendent turned around, yanked him in his office, berated him, threatened him with suspension, and bullied him, and did everything absolutely horrific. Now, I started reading the op-ed just before we went on air, and it's well thought out. He quotes various statistics, including the New York Times. He also makes quotes of the Bible, Leviticus 20:13, and a couple of other passages. He also quotes Dr. Cameron, chairman of the Family Research Institute. And he's stating why he feels gay couples should not be adopting children. And, you know, here he is, and the superintendent is threatening. This is a Shawano School District in Wisconsin. And let's see. I'm scrolling through this. The school immediately issued an apology saying that the superintendent was wrong and it was a form of bullying. But the school superintendent is standing by it. The superintendent gave him a chance to say he regretted writing the column. And this kid, Wagner, said, no, these are what my beliefs are. The superintendent's name is Carlson. And Carlson told him that he had got to be one of the most ignorant kids to try to argue with him about this topic. He told the boy that we have the power to suspend you if we want. He told the kid that he was personally offended by the column. He was asked to write the column by a faculty advisor. You know, so what's your opinion on this, Thomas?
First, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is the superintendent gay?
That's actually a very good question. I would be interested to find that out. I mean,
because,
someone who was that offended.
Right, exactly.
Thomas.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Let me take this all the way back to the beginning. Back in the early 90s, when the scientists claimed that he had found the existence of a gay gene, that's what really ignited the whole homosexual agenda. That scientist later admitted on his deathbed, dying from AIDS, mind you, that he made that up because he wanted something to justify his coming out of the closet. Now, folks, the entire human DNA system, the entire human DNA helicase has been genotyped. There was no existence found of a gay gene. Now, here's the thing. Here's another part of what I just said that you have to think about. If there was the existence of a gay gene, one, and you're born that way, didn't God not create homosexuals with an ability to reproduce?
Well, that's a good question. That is a good question. Being posted up in the chat room is a link to the story. Jubilus has put it up there. About the article I'm citing, and there is a link to the actual op-ed piece in that article, if anyone wants to pull it up and read it. And I'm telling you, the kid, for a 50-year-old, wrote out a well-thought-out article in there. And the fact that the superintendent turned around and said, well, you shouldn't have written it in the first place, when a faculty advisor told the kid to write this, I mean, what the heck is going on with our school system?
Well, it was also... they decided to run a pair of opposing students' editorials. So opposing editorials mean one thinks this way and one thinks that way.
Right.
I wonder about the one who thinks this way. I wonder if they got hauled into the office and threatened suspension.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what that says to me? We really need to dismantle the public school system at, you know, there needs to be a private public school system that is strictly...
Thomas, I think your Skype is acting up again.
Can you hear me now?
Now you're bouncing in and out. Let me quote one of the paragraphs the kid wrote. In all cases, same-sex partners adopting children robs children of the potential of growing up with a traditional family consisting of a mom and dad. A child needs to grow up with two different gendered parents so they can experience both qualities that God bestowed on a mother and a father, a man and a woman. Studies demonstrate that there is, in fact, a difference between non-heterosexual and heterosexual parenting. I'm telling you, this kid should be commended for doing the research he did on this article and being able to write one that's completely coherent. He must have spent a lot of time thinking about this. And then to have a school superintendent to threaten him with suspension and, you know, bully him and everything around, I just say, you know, the superintendent should be dismissed.
Actually, right.
Should be dismissed. And matter of fact, he does have, let me find the name of this guy. His last name is Staver. I'm trying to remember who he is with. If it was the Heritage or, oh, just bear with me while I'm trying to find this. I'm trying to speed read while I'm looking for this.
there's a part in there where somebody is quoted, when I saw this, I was in shock. He was raising four children, three who are his biological kids and biological daughter of his partner, and makes the statement, this because of the opposing, this is why kids commit suicide.
Okay.
Yeah, because somebody has a view that gay adoption is bad, kids kill themselves. Oh, please. I mean, Cornwallis killed himself. That was back in 1780. That have anything to do with somebody adopting gay kids? Or however it is, that's ridiculous. Well, gay couple.
Well,
so the reason people commit suicide
is because most of us are opposed to gay adoption.
Are you in the chat room?
Well, Matthew Staver of the Liberty Council is the one that is challenging the superintendent, Todd Carlson, and he is threatening legal action against the school district. So good for him, the Liberty Council stepping up to bat on that. Now, if anyone in the chat room has a little opinion on this, why don't you call in?
I'm sure Tesla has an opinion on this.
Well, someone's got music playing in the background. If you can, turn that down so we don't get the interference on this. Want to welcome everyone into the chat room. We've got Bob, USMC, and another Marine, Dr. Jones, and my nurse friend, Erica. We got Jubilus, we got Kel, our Canadian friend, and Mom, Mary. And we got a fellow South Carolinian, Rick, and we've got Tesla, of course, and Thomas. Want to welcome you all here to Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to take a small, quick break, and I'm going to play a couple of PSAs. So just stand in line. Here we go.
Please join Doc Jones as he kicks off primetime with the SITREP. Weekdays from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, Dr. C. Robert Jones is a retired Marine officer with a PhD in history, and he keeps up with the day-to-day events and analyzes and explains with historical facts and an informed opinion. GoJo Media is dynamic and fresh, so please catch the Situation Report every weeknight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
People come to internet radio for any number of reasons. Among the reasons are perhaps they're tired of the pasteurized, homogenized news that they get from their TV. Or some may want their talk radio a little more raw. Well, that's what you get with internet talk radio. Real people with real opinions that give you real conversation. It's not your daddy's talk radio. And it's for people who stay informed and a great way to share ideas and debate issues. Well, let's just say that internet talk radio hosts don't sit in front of the makeup mirror before they go on the air. Internet talk radio is a fast-growing new media that allows folks to get around the dinosaur media. People come to internet radio for any number of reasons. Among the reasons are perhaps they're tired of the pasteurized, homogenized news that...
You can't handle the truth!
24/7 Internet Talk Radio. Socialism is not an option.
Vote with the candidate that most closely comes to your world views, whatever those may be.
Oh, you got a great show.
Thank you.
I'm impressed with your callers and Dave and everyone on that show. It's just a great show. You're very well informed. It's run like a tight ship. It's very good.
I'm sorry for those who support that lifestyle.
Right.
But true it's impossible. We've said this before. It's impossible to be a true conservative and gay. It's just impossible.
Heaven help you guys if the Republicans actually win in 2012, because I'll be gunning for those so-called folks. I'm sorry, did I speak clearly enough for this?
Friday evening, I had the opportunity to appear on Tesler's program. Tesler hosts three different programs, and I appeared on the Friday Night Roundtable program, which was sort of the less serious. He's got some, but I was on the Friday Night Show, which allowed me to riff on top.
Sir, I want to thank you so much for having me on. You have a rocking program.
Thank you.
This has been very energetic, and getting the message out is the most important thing. Do not ignore this show. Tesla, you got a fantastic show, and I just want to say God bless America. We got a lot of work ahead of us.
Stop, because I obviously, I'm very conservative. I'm not religious orientated. Believe me, people who know me know that if I went into a church, it would probably
burst into flames.
Probably.
Oh, geez, Ski and David, thank you. I love you. Kisses.
Oh boy. Okay. So, oh man, I don't want to go there. Good night and God bless.
Socialism is not an option. WWWDB 24/7 Internet Talk Radio.
When we do Internet Talk Radio, we receive support from a great many areas. We have listener support, of course, and some who help with the promoting. One group that often goes unrecognized are the wives of Internet Talk Radio hosts. They are the ones who tolerate our dalliances and the time we invest in our hobbies. Well, this is one way we can properly recognize those who are closest to us by broadcasting their sincere sentiments regarding our passions.
I am going to stay up all night. You have family, you know. You're always at that computer. How much money do you make doing that dumbass radio show? You're not the only one that lives there, you know. You better come and eat. I'm not bringing it in there.
Oh, man. Some of these PSAs are really, really good and really funny. The only problem I have with that last PSA I just played, the wives of BTR, hey, I don't have a wife. I have a husband. You know, somewhere along the way, I think I'm being discriminated against. What do you think, Mike?
I think you ought to quit your whining, typical crybaby southern lady. You got good looks and everything else. What are you complaining about, Annie?
Oh, thanks.
So I was going to, I want, it's, can you hear the music in the background? I tried to go to a corner. Somebody puts in the jukebox just as I want to talk, but I disagree. You can be gay and be a conservative. Conservative is financial conservative. I don't believe government should be too big or whatever. However, to me, a conservative is a fiscal monetary conservative, meaning we ought to take Barack Obama and his administration and spring them up by their, hang them up by their Buster britches, get rid of TSA, all that bull crap. I don't think being a gender or whatever they call them nowadays has anything to do with that. Gender bender is a guy with, is a girl with a weenie or something like that. Forget it. Anyway, I made my point.
I think you're trying to stir up trouble. But you would separate a social conservative from a fiscal conservative? That's not
a
conservative.
I think conservatism is financial conservative. If I am a fiscal conservative, I don't care if somebody's gay. That's really not my business. Now, you know, there's two kinds of stupid. Man who gets naked and barks at the moon and man who does the same thing in my living room. So, I mean, you know, the big problem occurs when you have people that are parading down the streets with all kinds of hair colors and whipping their little ding-ding out and just these freak shows that really are embarrassing. And I think it sets a precedent or a bad image. And it resonates when you have these people in these interviews and they're supporting candidates who have no morals, have no values, simply because these people may support one of their issues of homosexuality. And that's ridiculous. I mean, even Newt, who you're supporting, you disagree with him on issues. The idea that you support these, all this ridiculous type of actions, public actions too, whether it's in a parade or just whatever, I think to myself, that is just a breakdown in every way, shape, or form of the individual, your own self standards as well as your moral standards. I mean, I work in clubs, so I see gay people all the time, and some of them you don't even know. But for a large majority of them, oh my God! I mean, I don't know how they even go outside looking like they do. I mean. The new thing now is the piercings on the top bracket of your nose, Annie. I guess that means that you're bisexual now. Well, at least where I'm from.
Well, we have a lot of people going in on the chat room. TSA's this thing went so fast. What is it? TSA terror searching anuses. That's Bob USNC. Oh, man, we got people from...
There's a lot of good shows on BTR. I mean, BTR has great, great shows. I even some of the opposing views I go to and listen to, I don't agree with what they're saying. But, I mean, a lot of people put in a lot of work into their shows. It's really, really interesting. And it's really great to see they're from all over the place.
Yes, yes, and the chat room is really filling up here. We've got Sarge in here. We've got Beverly has joined us. We've got a couple of guests. Let's see whoever else is coming in here. I want to welcome all here onto Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. Again, I'm getting static in my headset, so I apologize if anyone's getting static on their end from me. but it seems like these solar storms really are affecting my equipment today. Hey, listen, you know, going along...
We need people to call in. Tell everyone to call in. And,
oh, sure.
You know,
the call-in line is open, and it's 917-889-3675. So if you want to, you know, chime in on these conversations here, feel free. Thomas, I'm going to get a little bit from you on this next item I'm pulling up. This is now Obamacare. Kathleen Sebelius is telling religious institutions that have health care for their employees and staff that they must issue them birth control and abortion services if they require it.
Let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there. Obviously, that dumb bitch. Obviously, that dumb bitch is too stupid to realize what just happened when the U.S. Supreme Court, through a 9-0 decision, smacked down this lawsuit from this lady who was fired because she refused to go by the standards of the ministry organization she worked for. If they struck that down, what makes her think that she is going to be allowed to force ministries and churches and other religious organizations to give birth control and other stuff to their employees if it's against their mandate? See, this is what we have to understand. There's precedents being set, and if the U.S. Supreme Court turns around and rules against them, against churches in this case, then they just spoke out of both sides of their head, because that still falls under the Religious Liberties Act.
All right, we got another caller coming in. Let me bring this person in online.
It's Sarge.
Looks like a Skype caller. Who am I speaking to? You're on the air with Southern Sense.
Southern Sense, you put out the call, so I had to respond.
Sarge. I told you it was Sarge. Sarge!
You never know. When you see a Skype call, it could be anyone, anywhere. And occasionally I get my trolls. Matter of fact, I haven't had a troll yet today. You notice that, Mike?
That's because they get kicked out of the chat rooms. Thomas is on point here.
last month, I've had at least one troll every show. But go ahead, Sarge.
Yeah, you got Thomas on the case, so all is good. Thomas is like an anti-troll repellent. I don't think they want to say too much when Thomas comes on.
No, I went into Thomas's chat room yesterday. He didn't know my regular screen name, and I started saying, like, I love Obama. Just all kinds of crazy shit. Next thing I know, I see this thing that says, you've been kicked out. And then they start the show, and Annie can't even keep her composure from laughing. She goes, you just kicked out Cool Mike. He goes, no, I kicked out some other jerk, cougar, whatever. She goes, that's Cool Mike.
Whoops.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, anyway, all right. Look, you know what? I'm going to be tomorrow now.
You're going to what?
You know what? I'm going to be tomorrow, don't you?
No, where are you going to be tomorrow?
Man, you got it. In the Fulton County Courthouse with the live feed going on when Barack Hussein Obama doesn't show up in court to answer the subpoena.
Is that
he ain't
going to
do that. He might have his lawyers.
Is that tomorrow?
There to
I thought that was
the documents that the Georgia
that
judge is demanding.
Yeah, I thought that was the 26th. It's the 25th?
It's the 26th Thursday. I'm sorry. The 26th.
Okay,
yeah, that's why
so,
I'm going to.
Yeah, all right. So you're going to be in the Fulton County Courthouse in Atlanta. And Judge Mahaly allowed Orly Tates to issue a subpoena demanding Barack Obama to bring forth his true birth documents, not the photocopied whatever crap.
Not the cobbled up PDF file they made in the White House. No, not that one. No, the text copied and pasted from other birth certificates from the same era. That's what that was. No.
Right.
A photocopy, certified photocopy of the original that they claim is on file in the Department of Hawaii.
Wow. Well, we'll see whether or not he does answer the summons.
For the first time, we have a case that will be heard on the merits in a duly adjudicated courtroom in the United States. The first time in 3 years.
Well, Sarge, this is your arena. I mean, you know, I'm the Patriot Act guy, and you're the. This is yours. This is your.
The natural. No, don't say birth here. Don't say birth certificate. The natural born citizen issue. That's the issue.
Whatever, yep. Whatever it is, this is. You have been run. You are passionate about this issue. It seems to stick out a little bit more than the other issues, and you've talked about it on BTR for a long time, man. This is your moment in the sun. I wish I had a trumpet here. I'd play it.
Well, but, all I want is people to just spread the word. Just spread the facts. You don't have to even give an opinion. Just tell the factual matters, the factually corroborable evidence that's on the table. You know, I found out more information that from 2003 through 2006, Democrats introduced eight bills to amend the Constitution in the House and in the Senate to allow a non-natural-born citizen or a parent who didn't have two citizen parents to become president of the United States, to essentially modify or repeal Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5. They've been trying to pave the way for this guy for years. Now, I'm not one, you know me, I'm not one to lightly enter the word conspiracy. You almost never hear it coming from my mouth. I speak about fact and history. But, you know, in this case, when I look at everything surrounding this case, it's almost impossible not to come to that conclusion. This is on the record, folks, in the House. Eight separate attempts by Democrats to introduce bills to modify or repeal Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 of the Constitution to make it so a non-natural-born citizen could be president, one without two citizen parents. And that was very clear in all of those bills. They specifically went after not having two natural-born citizen parents.
Sarge, let me bring in the next call. We get area code 260. You're live on the air with Southern Sense. Who am I speaking to?
Emery.
Hi, Emery. Emery McLennan is our friend from Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's with the Tea Party out there. He's visiting sunny South Carolina, thawing out. How you doing, Emery?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I lost the connection on the computer, so that's why I called in. But I just want to say hi to everybody and enjoying the weather down here and try to listen to the show whenever I can, but it comes on most of the time while I'm at work. So since I'm down here, I can listen to it today, the whole thing, and boy, you guys are getting fired up.
Well,
yeah, and the chat room is going crazy. It appears, I just want to make one little mention, though. There seems to be some instant messages going between some of our people in the chat room, and I do ask that they keep it civil. If anyone is going to be offensive to another one of our listeners, I will then unfortunately have to ask that person to leave. So please be civil with each other in the chat room, even if you are doing private messaging between each other. Thank you. I'm sorry, Emery. Just something I noticed, and I don't want any of my listeners to be offended if someone else is doing something on my show that shouldn't be happening. What is your take on this with the lawsuit that Orley Tate was able to get these subpoenas on?
Oh, I'm all for it. I've been following that on Facebook and also on Twitter, and I've seen it in some other places. We've been getting a lot of emails, and in some of the groups that I'm on, on Facebook and different blog sites. So I think it's a wonderful thing. I think it's something that needs to be brought in the open, and I think that if he's ineligible to be on the ballot for that state, he should be taken off. And if it comes down to where he's ineligible, period, then let it be.
Oh, that's good. Matter of fact, I thought I had caught something, and I didn't read the whole thing as I normally do. I wasn't as thorough. It's just something that flashed before my eyes. But I believe there's also a judge in Hawaii that's doing the same thing, allowing Orley Tate to have subpoena power on the White House. Did anyone else see anything about that?
Hmm.
Yeah. I haven't heard. I think I've seen. I might have heard something, but like I said, I've been following. Isn't there another couple of states that are trying to get some stuff done, too? That I read, but I'm not really sure. But anyway, at any rate, you know, we need to get to the bottom of this. We need to get it straightened out. And if it is so, then hey, great, because everybody else seems to be afraid. We can't get the Speaker of the House to do anything. We can't get the Senate to do anything, and they just keep rolling right over us and ignoring the will of the people to find out what's going on. So maybe this is a way we'll get it done.
Yeah. Sarge, have you heard anything about that? I think we lost Sarge.
No, he's just on mute. He usually sometimes has things he's got to do.
Oh, yeah, I heard you there. I missed what it was you asked me to comment on because someone else was speaking.
Have you heard anything about subpoena power being issued by a judge in Hawaii and a couple other states for Orly Tates?
Orly asked for it in Hawaii. The judge there cut her off pretty quick.
No,
she tried to schedule her court date so it would conflict with the date on the 26th. But then she relented, changed it, and essentially denied most of her motion. As usual.
Well, I want to switch over a little bit here now. Dealing with the White House, I'm going to play this little clip, and then I want each of you to give me a little comment on it because I actually love this. Here we go.
Well, he is a Bruins hero on the ice, but goalie Tim Thomas is getting frosty reviews for putting politics before the team.
Now, the Stanley Cup champs were actually at the White House today, but Tim Thomas decided not to attend. On his Facebook page, he stated, "I believe the federal government has grown out of control, threatening the rights, liberties, and property of the people. Because I believe this today, I exercise my right as a free citizen and did not visit the White House. This was not about politics or party, as in my opinion, both parties are responsible for the situation we are in as a country. This was about a choice I had to make as an individual." Well, most Bruins fans we spoke with say it isn't a big deal.
He didn't believe that was a good decision, then I support it. He was the MVP of the series, and, you know, he's an amazing goalie. If he didn't want to go to the White House, then that's his decision.
I mean, you still go, despite your feelings, you still go and respect the office and the people that were there before him.
All right, Thomas, you first. What's your opinion about this this Bruins goalie, Tim Thomas, not going to the White House for the awards ceremony?
Well, that was his right, and I applaud him. And if I might, real quick, can I comment on the Al Sharpton comments from the chat room?
Oh, sure.
Okay, first of all, guys, Al Sharpton is a greasy-haired jackass who gives true American black conservatives like me and Sarge and many, many others a bad name. The guy has so much grease in his hair that you could start a forest fire, put it out, smother it, and still make a mannequin with his hair, and he'd still have 25 feet left. I despise the ground he walks on. So, having said all that, look at the people for the character of their heart, and please don't judge all black people by that greasy-haired racist prick. That's all.
You don't have an opinion on this, do you, Thomas?
No, not at all.
All right. All right, Sarge.
Hello? Yes, you know what? That's what I loved about Gingrich. Gingrich did not allow Juan Williams to be shielded by political correctness. He went right after the answer. And notice, he didn't go after Williams. He just answered the question without any fear, with confidence in his conservatism and with the rightness of his position. Totally unapologetic. I have enormous reservations about Newt Gingrich. I believe he's a Rooseveltian progressive. I'm talking about in the manner of Theodore Roosevelt, and that I think is troublesome to what needs to be done to right this country's course. But in so many ways, there are few people in American public life who can articulate a position better than Newt Gingrich. And on that, he was just about pitch perfect in his answer to Juan Williams. I really was impressed.
All right, well, what you're referring to is what's going on inside the chat room where people are discussing Al Sharpton's comments on the debate dealing with Juan Williams and Newt Gingrich. But I was going over to the subject of the Bruins goalie, Tim Thomas, not going to the White House for the awards ceremony. He backed out saying
I was astonished. I heard about the guy's reasons for not going. This guy is a constitutional conservative. He even used the word liberty. Even conservatives don't use that word enough. I was impressed. This guy must have been studying that. Somebody's gotten to him and explained to him what the Constitution is for and what our liberty is about. This is great.
Yeah, well, what I like is the fact he stood by his principles and he says, listen, you know, everything that's going on with this administration, I feel is wrong. The previous administration was also wrong. They're both wrong. I don't feel the respect is being paid to the office of the presidency, and therefore I do not wish to be there. What's your opinion, Emory?
Oh, I agree with him totally. You know, that's his total feeling. He had to he spelled out the reason why, and I think a lot of Americans agree with him on that. I didn't know a whole lot about it because when that came down, the stories, and I was trying to get the information online. I was traveling and trying to read the blogs, and I couldn't do it because the internet connection kept going in and out. So other than that, I'll just reserve my comments, you know, to that until I can find out a little bit more about it. But I agree with him totally, the little bit that I know about it.
Yeah. Cool, Mike. You know, one of the things I noticed about this, I was listening to some of the talking heads on Fox, and I swear some of the people they got on there are starting to get so left-leaning. It's driving me nuts. But they had one of the bubblehead beach blondes saying that he disrespected the office by not going. He should have transcended, you know, political reasoning and just gone. I disagree. What's your opinion?
Well, I guess it all in the, you know what? If one, hang on a second, I got to go away from the music. If one thing Romney has said during the campaign that I like, that I really don't care much for Romney, but he said America's too uptight. We are. I mean, we just go for God. What difference does that make? I mean, a lot of times we go to a different churches because our friend belongs to that denomination. We just go. You know what? I think in life we just get too wrapped up in a political aspect of something. I don't know what denomination Sarge is or Thomas, but if I were visiting them and they said, hey, are you going to a church? Or maybe going to play bingo or something you don't want to do. Oh, why do we make an issue of really something minor? That's my really opinion. I don't think it's that big a deal. I think you just go, how many times for political purposes do they do things just for the political purpose of it?
Well,
right.
That's my opinion. I mean,
well,
so many of these issues are not issues, Annie. That's what I'm thinking. So many of these issues are not even worth our time, but they become issues when somebody won't go. Or somebody makes an issue of it.
Well, I think his point was being that, hey, listen, I'm now a public figure. You know, I'm a sports figure. People look up to me and respect my opinions for what they are. I do not want to be photographed at the White House with President Obama simply because I don't want people seem to feel that I support what he does. And I think that's more or less is what he was saying as why he was not going to go.
Well, that's
entitled
to his opinion. He's entitled to his opinion. I think I'd rather have George W. Bush than Barack Obama as my president. But if I got invited to the White House, I'll be there.
And another thing, too, is that when the president doesn't want to attend the function, he doesn't go. So it's a matter of opinion. If a guy doesn't want to attend or a person doesn't want to attend a presidential event at the White House, they don't invite certain people, and nobody says anything. The president goes where he wants to go, nobody says anything. So if a citizen wants to boycott or make it known publicly that he doesn't agree with going to an event, that he doesn't want to fully show his support, I think that's quite all right.
And I agree, too. That's quite all right. And we make an issue of nothing. He didn't want to go, he didn't want to go. I would have gone because I think that's cool, especially if they throw in a free meal. But anyway, the bottom line is that, it's just a non-issue. The whole team went but one, okay? What's the big deal? God, are we that starving for news?
Well, they're trying to persecute the conservative or the person that didn't want to go and make him the oddball.
Well, that's true. And you know what? With the advent of some of these players we have, such as, you know, Tebow, conservatives and Christians that are public figures, you know, whether or not they're in Hollywood or in sports, are starting to have the courage to come forward and present themselves in public.
I think
this is what we need to support. Instead of making them vilified, just say, hey, I'm glad you're standing by the courage of your convictions. We need more people like you to do that.
That's true.
All right, let me just say, we're listening to Sudden Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ann, the radio chick, my co-host, Cool Mike. We also have online Sarge, also Thomas, the invisible conservative, who's visible now, And my friend Emery McLennan from the Fort Wayne, Indiana Tea Party, also a honored vet, too. So I want to say thank you to you and Sarge for your service. We also have Rick in the chat room. I've got Beverly and Dr. Jones, USMC, and our nurse, Erica. We've got Jubilus. We got Kel from Canada and Mom Mary and Tesler. I want to welcome everyone. Going on with Tebow, there was an article in, what the heck was I reading? The Weekly Standard. And they were talking about Tebow, and there was a Sandra Fish. She teaches at the University of Colorado. And she said, with Tim Tebow, would we love him if he were a Muslim? And she basically said, let me see. Fish draws a baffling parallel. She says, quote, the lauding of Tebow's Christianity has me recollecting another Denver athlete who once flaunted his faith on the basketball court in the 1990s and paid a price for it. She goes on to tell about the former Denver Nugget guard Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. I probably pronounced that wrong. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who, following his conversion to Islam, called the American flag a symbol of oppression and tyranny and received a one-game suspension. Well, consequently, this guy is no longer in professional football. She says, but if a Muslim player thanked Allah after every game and ended every interview with praise Allah, would we afford him the same respect we give to Tebow? Well, she seems to forget that we used to have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Hakeem Olajuwon, who are both Muslims, and you also have Muhammad Ali. You know, we didn't vilify them. So why does she think that this would be any different? Emery, what's your give on this?
Well, probably because she may be ignorant of the fact of Muhammad Ali and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and all the rest of them. You even had some of the other basketball and football stars. So if that person wasn't aware of what was going on at the time and heard about those sports figures, she probably made that statement or is writing this story out of ignorance to that fact, or it just could be that she's trying to raise another issue and gain more attention on trying to push Islam itself. You know, we don't know yet.
Yeah, that's true. Thomas?
Yes, ma'am.
Did I wake you?
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on this, where her comparing Tebow to this Abdul-Rauf?
You're talking about the basketball player Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf?
Oh, I'm glad you can say that. I can't say that.
Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Wow, that was good.
Name was, what was his original name? He played, Chris Jackson, actually. He played at LSU.
All right, well, he was a Denver Nugget, yeah.
Yes, but he played basketball at LSU back in the day. And, first of all, how in the hell can you compare a Christian to a Muslim? Where's the similarity? Well, I guess there is the same similarity in that Muslims and Jews are related. Did you folks know that?
Yeah, through the family of Abraham. Therefore,
exactly.
All Christians are related too.
So here's my question. What the hell the idiots fighting for? Y'all family. But, you know, I digress. And as most of you know, I'm a believer. But you know what? While I'm strong in my faith, I don't allow things to, get me so riled up. Like, if someone's an atheist, that's their choice. Where I do get pissed is when that atheist try to tell me I don't have the right to be a Christian because they're atheists and it offends them. Therefore, i.e., the lady comparing Tim Tebow to Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf was an idiot.
Sarge, what's your take? Okay, I think Sarge went off.
He'll be there. Just hang in.
No,
there.
I didn't go off, actually. I just had to mute a little background noise. So, but I think we should remember that Muhammad Ali was, in fact, vilified for a significant portion of his boxing career after he refused to be inducted for the draft. And he was effectively, not only did he have to face the, you know, the ire of the United States Selective Service System and the United States Attorney, he also was kept from getting a boxing license almost anywhere in the United States for about 3 years of the most productive, would have been the most productive years of his boxing career. Now, I didn't agree with Muhammad Ali's stance, being a combat veteran of Vietnam myself, but I had to agree, at least he did it in a principled manner. He took the consequences for his refusal. He fought it all the way to the Supreme Court, and they found that he was, in fact, a conscientious objector, entitled a conscientious objector, deferment status. So while people can disagree with Muhammad Ali's stance on the issue, they do have to at least, if you want to, admire the fact that he went about it and was prepared to take the consequences for it, including going to jail. Unlike a lot of people like, oh, Bill Clinton, for instance, just dodged the draft totally.
Yeah, it's true. And you got to remember that when Muhammad Ali was suspended from boxing, it was our own Beaufort, South Carolina, Joe Frazier that fought in his corner to get him reinstated.
True.
Before we go on to the rest of you, we've got another caller coming in on the line. This is fantastic. Area code 904, you're on the air live with Southern Sense. Who am I speaking to?
You are speaking with Matt from Florida.
I'm sorry?
You're speaking with Matt from Florida.
Hey, Matt from Florida, welcome.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
We're doing fine. I do have to apologize. I still have a lot of static in my headset from these solar flares. It's really affecting my phone equipment, so it's sometimes a little hard for me to hear some people. If you're hearing static, it may be coming from my equipment, and I just can't do anything about it. Want to welcome some new people into the chat room. We got Black Awareness. We got Patriot Greg also. Welcome aboard. So, Matt, what is your input?
I just kind of pretty much just tuned in. I really just wanted to ask a question, and my question is this. As much, because see, I'm not a conservative, but I just want to ask, I've been asking conservatives on my campuses and conservatives around my neighborhood this as well. I want to ask this. As much votes as whoever the conservative nominee is going to need, why do conservatives and Fox News in general decide to marginalize Ron Paul supporters when you guys are going to need their support?
Fox News is not a conservative station. Get that straight. They are not. That is an illusion that they are conservative. But everything's great. Thank you. Sorry, I had to talk to the server a minute. But yes, that is an absolute illusion that somehow they are, because they lean Republican or tend to favor, does not mean they are conservative. Now, make that clear. And one of the reasons they don't like Ron Paul is because they're in bed with the Republican Party. That's why.
Oh, it is true. Emory, since you're Tea Party like I am, you want to give this a shot?
Yeah, I just want to say that a lot of the people don't agree with the extreme view on his foreign policy and the military and his stance on national defense. They love his fiscal responsibility and his constitutional stance, but they take issue with just those few small events because the thing about Israel, defending our nation, the military, bringing all the troops home, so that makes them very, very adamant in their stance toward Ron Paul. And then when you try, a lot of people, when they get into arguments with some of the Ron Paul people, they tend to get into just that, knock down, drag out arguments, and then there's a fallout. But I think in the long run, most people are not out to fight them and to vilify them, but it just seems to come out that way because they get into so many knockdown, drag-out arguments.
Oh, that's true, and that's one of the things I find, because when I find someone's a very staunch Ron Paul supporter, and it happens to be a couple of people in Tea Parties locally here, Emory, in South Carolina, that really shocked me when we had our convention up in Myrtle Beach when they said they were staunch Ron Paul supporters. My jaw just dropped. Every single argument we have has to deal with foreign policy. And in the world we live in today, you know, you have to be interactive internationally. You just cannot put your head in the sand. And unfortunately, a lot of these Ron Paul supporters just believe that we should pull everything inside our borders, set up huge fences, just blockade ourselves in, and ignore the rest of the world. We can't do that anymore. And the more we try to explain that, the more you end up in a fight with them. And it's at that point you say, hey, listen, I love you being a constitutionalist. I really appreciate that. But please, you're going to do more harm to us if you ignore international affairs. Sarge, I heard you starting to pipe in.
Yes, ma'am. I wanted to wait till you had, you know, you said what you had to say because it was really excellent. But another thing you have to remember, too, about the presidency, the Constitution gives the commander-in-chief, the chief executive of the nation, the most leeway in matters of foreign policy and commanding the armed forces. That's where he can do the most things on his own. And if I, as a constitutional conservative, think his ideas about the relationship of the commander-in-chief and the chief executive, both to the armed forces and its use, and to foreign policy is askew, well, that's the most important part and the main part of his job. It isn't really domestic policy so much. Yes, he can veto spending bills. He can ask someone in Congress to introduce them for him. But he really doesn't have the power. The Congress has the power to vote them in or to override his veto if they think it's that important. And if he doesn't understand the basics of it, well, most of us are going to have to say that he doesn't understand the most important part of his job.
No, that's very true. Thomas, I know you're impatient. Go ahead.
Well, actually, someone hit on my whole point of contention earlier. And that is, you know, in having a discussion with Ron Paul's supporters, because personally, I don't mind someone having a different view than I do. But don't sit there and tell me I'm stupid, I'm an idiot, I'm un-American, and I don't know anything about the U.S. Constitution because I don't support Ron Paul. Because the truth of the matter is this, and guys, a lot of times I've held on to some things that I know when it comes to Ron Paul's voting record. See, here's the thing. Most American conservatives, even Ron Paul supporters, do not know, nor have they ever looked at Ron Paul's voting record in Congress. I have, actually. Ron Paul's voting record in Congress over the last 20 years graded out further to the left than Barack Obama. So as far as I'm concerned, while he's entitled to be a part of the Republican Party because that's what he chooses, unlike everybody else, I have not been fooled into believing he's a constitutional conservative when his voting record in Congress says otherwise. And that's all I have to say about it. I don't argue with Ron Paul supporters about that because the evidence is there. And so I don't need to justify my beliefs to them. I'm not going to support them.
And that's what counts.
And Matt, does that answer your question?
I want to say I don't think it matters whether or not you support the man. I'm talking about this whole vilification of him and his supporters. I mean, my main question to you all is, don't you all believe you need them in order to kind of, I would say, win? Although I highly believe they're not going to vote for you, whoever you put up there as nominee anyways, because I know I am. I'm not. But I'm just saying, don't you think you need us?
We definitely need the independent voters. We also want the libertarian voters. There are also, you have to understand, we're realistic. We're going to realize that there are some Ron Paul supporters that are not, there are just so far off that no matter what we say or do, we're never going to have their support. So, you know, we know they're going to go for an independent candidate no matter what. But there's also the moderates.
Keep in mind a lot of Republicans are like that, too. George Bush was way out there as well with his liberal policy. So, I mean, the bottom line is, here's where it cracks, is that I just disagree with Ron Paul's interpretation of the Constitution. I agree domestically, but his interpretation regarding the foreign policy is suicidal. That enough is too much to scare me. I mean, it's one thing to disagree on cigarette taxes. It's another thing to agree that we don't have the rights to protect the state. We shouldn't be protecting the states abroad. That's That's my philosophy. And I respect Ron Paul very much for his standing up to be kind of the rebel of the group, because he stands by certain aspects of the Constitution. But as Thomas has verified, Ron Paul's a lot of words, and voting records speak for the words.
Right. Exactly.
Right. And what I also find is that inside our Tea Parties, there are a lot of Ron Paul people. You know, we do include them, absolutely, and we welcome them. And just we may disagree on certain aspects of his policies. So I'm not afraid of losing Ron Paul supporters. There's just the extreme we know we're never going to get. So, you know, what you see as being vilified is actually mainstream media pulling something out just to cause a news item, honestly. You know, if the more they vilify Ron Paul and his supporters, the more they sell airtime or newspapers. So I think the media is actually extending this more than it actually exists.
Right. And let me say this, because this is just how I am. I, like I said, I don't have a problem with anybody you know, choosing to support Ron Paul. That's their choice. But do not sit there and call me names, tell me I'm stupid and I'm an idiot because I don't support Ron Paul. I had that happen to me once. And see, here's the thing, Matt. I have to be careful, and, you know, when it comes to talking to people, because without saying a word, I can say things to people that would cut as sharp as a knife. I'm a communicator by naturally, and if I ever had to, I know how to say words so painful that it would strike at the core of people. But that's not me. That's why I back up from Ron Paul supporters and let them kind of do the bashing, because they've said some pretty crappy things to me, which I've had to sit back and I've had to be like, okay, and walk away. So that's where I stand.
Yeah,
I know back in 07 and 08 when I was basically telling some of these Obama supporters, mostly black, since I'm black and I live in a black neighborhood, I have a black family, while I wasn't supporting him, I was attacked. So I can agree.
So think about that for a minute. Not only have you experienced it, so have I. I've got it from both sides. I've got it from Obama's supporters, because I'm black as well, and so has Sarge, and Ron Paul's supporters. So as having experienced that, that should actually give you a more insider's perspective of what a lot of conservatives are dealing with. Because the truth of the matter is this: the biggest thing that pisses me off is the division within the conservatives, and the liberals are kicking our butts from here to eternity because of all the division. That's the thing,
Andy,
that really
was,
pisses.
Emery, yes?
Yeah, that would have been my final point is, in the end, what we have to do is support the victor, and we all have to come together. So
right.
The name-calling and the bashing is not going to do any good in the final run come November 2012. And
right.
That is where we have to lay down the insensitivity. This is what we're doing at our Tea Party back in Indiana, is we're saying we have a lot. Like you said, we probably got out of the 80 or 90 regular people, about 30 of them are Ron Paul supporters. And they're very good people. They work hard within the Tea Party. But most of them have decided that, hey, if whoever our candidate is, we're going to lay down our differences and we're going to all stick together and vote for that one candidate.
And Emery, you know, I'm the founder here for the Tea Party here in Beaufort, and we've said the same thing. We're going to just, you know, put down our differences. We're going to get behind whoever is nominated. Matter of fact, Matt, just to let you know, Emery also happens to be a black conservative. So out of all the callers right now sitting on the line, the only two that aren't black is my co-host and myself. So, you know, it's a growing community, and I'm glad these gentlemen have the courage of their convictions to come up and say, hey, listen, I'm not going to just roll over and follow, you know, what everyone else is telling me to do. I'm going to stand
exactly
by what I believe. And, you know, that takes a hell of a lot of courage.
I think also let's not ignore the fact that the Democrats have said horrible things about Ron Paul. you know, communist.
Yep.
And, but that's never mentioned. You know, in the heat of a debate, like Ron Paul or not like Ron Paul, he's up there with nine other people, and they all want to be president. So the heat of a debate, things happen, and they make an issue of it. In the meantime, some of the things Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and many other people have go. I think somebody called him a broken down old man one time, and whatever. I mean, when the Democrats say stuff, it's no big deal. If I were to have a fight with Thomas here and get all racial with him, it'd be in the news. But if Harry Reid or Pelosi or Maxine Waters said anything, you'd never read about it. You know, and it's just a lot of this is greatly exaggerated. There's no more attacks on Ron Paul than Newt has attacked Romney, blah, 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 blah. It's just great. It's just a heat of a debate, and it's the heat of a discussion. Everybody has their own side. Side A is passionate about their candidate, and so is side B. But, however, since it's on a side that the media doesn't like and that the Democrats don't like, it gets blown way out of proportion, no different than what we just talked about. Nobody here is saying Ron Paul is a bad person. No one's saying he's a bad husband, father, grandfather, or whatever.
Right.
We're arguing his political views, and on top of that, one player out of 25 doesn't go to the White House, and it's all over the news. How about the 25 that did go to the White House? Is that news? So here we're just, again, debating another issue that nobody really is attacking Ron Paul for his political views. We're disagreeing. But the media just blows this way out of proportion.
Right, right.
Exactly. Now, we've only got less than 4 minutes left. I want to thank everyone for calling in and everyone that is in the chat room. We will be back on Friday with another show, Cool Mike and I. And Cool Mike will be going back with Jermaine's show, GGT, soon.
I'm calling in tonight if I can. And also let everybody know, Annie is a superstar, CNN, ABC, Al Jazeera, Public Broadcasting. She is the news. Hot shot.
Oh, man.
Annie Ubellis, bingo, big shot.
Hey,
well,
Annie.
Thomas,
hey, Annie.
You have a show on tonight. What is it, 5 o'clock Central Time?
5 o'clock Central Time. But I want to tell you guys of an upcoming guest. I don't know when, because I have to email her.
All right, when you do get that, let me know, because let me get through the rest of the people here.
Okay,
I wanted to
ahead.
Thank everyone for coming into the chat room also. Dr. Jones has a fantastic show up here on BTR, as well as my paisano, ex-conservative Tony Venuti. Tony Venuti, put your shows up there in the chat room. Tesla has one. Conservative is not an option. If anyone else does have a show and I have missed putting it, please put it up in the chat room so everyone else is aware of your show. Thomas is the invisible conservative here on BTR. Emery, it has been a pleasure, and I hope we do get a chance to sit down and have a drink tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to try to work this out. I got a couple more phone calls to make, and then I'll call you back.
All right, great. You've got my cell.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care, Emery.
Good night, everybody. Bye.
Good night.
Enjoy your visit. Okay. So you've been listening to Sudden Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank everyone for coming in and visiting. It has been a lot of fun. We will be back again, as I said, Friday. Tuesdays and Fridays, we're always here on BTR, and hopefully this solar storm will pass and I can have a headset without a crackling in my head. I do apologize if anyone had some interference on their end. I just can't help it. Mother Nature. So please come back on this same Bat Channel, same Bat Station on Friday, 2 o'clock. Thank you so much. Good night.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.webs.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American.
Again.